is Savages in the Box.
I want you to feel us.
Now here's Chris Carlin.
About as pretty as they come on Tuesday night for the Yankees as they absolutely roll over the Blue Jays. 12-1, your final score in Gerrit Cole's final regular season start of the 2020 campaign. 8 of 11 with runners in scoring position. 5 different players with multiple hit games. Aaron Judge with 3 hits and 3 runs scored. Aaron Hicks drove in 3 runs, was 2-for-4 on the night. Also, a couple of runs scored. Gio Urshela, 4-for-5 with 2 RBI. Gleyber Torres, 3-for-5, 2 RBI. And even Kyle Higashioka was 2-for-4 and drove in a couple of runs. And we'll get to more on him in just a bit. Normally, I wouldn't take you through the box score like that and give you so many of those specifics. Well, I think it's important to note offensively just how dominant they were on Tuesday night from this standpoint. The Yankees' season has been remarkably streaky. When you think about it as a whole, 16-6, then they lose 15 out of 20, then they come back and win 10 straight, and they lost a couple the last few days. So you're thinking, no big deal the last 2 days, right? Well, here's why Tuesday night was important. When you are a team that plays in streaks like that, from a mental standpoint, you want to make sure you snap out of the bad as quickly as possible. It sounds obvious, right? But I think particularly important in this case, you are not that far away from the postseason, and you want to have this team in the best frame of mind because it has been such a roller coaster of a year. You don't want to have a thought process of, oh, dear God, here we go again. We're about to fall into one of those slumps. The Yankees are nowhere close to that. And it was about the thrashing of the Blue Jay pitching, but it was also about Gerrit Cole. Gerrit Cole with 7 innings, 1 run. It was earned. He allowed 5 hits, didn't walk anybody, struck out 7. His ERA for the regular season ends at 2.84. But how about the starts in the month of September? 27 innings pitched, 7 innings in at least 3 of those starts. 14 hits, only 3 earned runs. 2 home runs, walked 5, struck out 34. It's an ERA of 1 flat, 3 earned runs in 27 innings, and a whip, walks, hits to inning pitched, 0.70. That is the Gerrit Cole that the Yankees shelled out $324 million for. And he is obviously cooking at a very, very high level right now.
I just feel like he's got a real good understanding of his attack plan, you know, developing the game plan as the week unfolds and then going out there and executing. And I continue to go back just using all his pitches effectively, not being afraid to shy away from any pitch in any situation. And, you know, he's filling up the strike zone. So it was really continued to be encouraged by what we see.
Aaron Boone doing his post-game news conference from a bowling alley in Buffalo, apparently. But he has a point about Cole. With Cole at the moment, you had the concerns in the middle of the season just given the fact that he wasn't pitching well and he was not doing what he had been brought here to do. Now that is all out the window, and you couldn't be more confident going into a game one. And I hate to put it this way, but let's just operate under the assumption that it's going to be game one in Minnesota next week, because that's in all likelihood what it's going to be. Right now, you feel like you've got that wrapped up. And I hate to put it that way, as I said, but when he has found himself back at this level, it's hard to imagine this guy getting beat. And nobody else is going to be able to match up to what he does. There is no Jacob DeGrom with the Minnesota Twins right now where you feel like Gerrit Cole is going to really have his work cut out for him with a game one pitching matchup. Kenta Maeda has had an amazing season for Minnesota, but against Gerrit Cole, you obviously feel great about where you're standing if you're the Yankees. So Cole now will get the ball in game one, and it will be Kyle Higashioka who will be behind the plate for him in game one. Aaron Boone confirmed that before the game on Tuesday. Said at the time that he wasn't in love with the idea of having a personal catcher, but that was more over the longer haul as opposed to just the postseason. There's no debate to be had here, okay? Let's just be clear about that. It doesn't matter if Gary Sanchez was actually hitting at a reasonable pace, or as we talked about the other day, if Gary Sanchez was just being average. He's not 0 for 4 on Monday. But even if he was, and Cole is more comfortable with Kyle Higashioka behind the plate, that's who's going to be doing the catching. When you brought in the ace and paid him the amount of money that you did, whatever is going to maximize his performance is what you're going to do. I mean, they used to have it with the Braves with Charlie O'Brien catching Greg Maddux. Nobody else was catching him. And that's just the way it was. But here's the best part. We may sit here and say, oh, God, Higashioka's starting. Higashioka has not been any kind of an offensive liability. He's actually been pretty damn good offensively. You know, in the month of September, in 35 at-bats, Higashioka's got 4 home runs and 10 runs batted in. Do you know that Higashioka's OPS for the season is actually 841? Now, granted, it's only in 44 at-bats overall, but that's pretty good. I mean, if he's not going to kill you at the plate, like somebody else we know has been known to do, it's actually not the worst trade-off in the world. And when you see Higashioka swing the bat like he did on Tuesday night, you're thinking maybe we'll get a nice little surprise out of this. So it is not the automatic out that so many times you have the backup catcher in the lineup that he automatically becomes, and he's just there for his defense. Well, Higashioka is there for his defense, but there is the outside chance he could give you a little something offensively. So this is something that we've been talking about for a long time, and we first pointed out probably back in late August, early September. And if you're paying attention, this should be no big shock. But whatever is going to get the most from Gerrit Cole at this point is what you're going to do. So there's no hesitance about that whatsoever. A couple of other things to look at. Aaron Hicks, really rolling right now. Last 14 games, his on-base percentage, .450. Now, as we know, Aaron Hicks is not going to be a tremendous hitter. He's not going to be somebody that is going to go out there and hit .310. He's hitting .225 on the year. But his on-base percentage is 160 points higher for the season than his batting average. And look, when the Yankees gave him the $70 million contract over 7 years, in addition to his great glove, that's what they're looking at, the analytics of it. Hicks is an analytics type player, but lately he is starting to hit, and if you can get him going at the right time, that's fantastic. As far as his adjustments that he's made at the plate,
we've been trying to make adjustments all year, you know, trying to hit the ball a little bit more to the left field, try to use the center of the field, and I just felt like I was getting pitches to hit and I just kept missing them. So we're looking back at some video, and, you know, I was kind of just getting my load out a little bit too late, and I just started to see balls a little bit better. I think the last series here on fastballs, and, you know, just by doing that.
Dear God, it really was like a holding a press conference in the subway, and there's a subway conductor.
That really were very adjustments. Next up, 72nd Street.
Honestly. But at any rate, if Hicks is going to even give you a little bit more offensively, but more importantly, he's getting on base like they needed him to. Well, that's what's important. Also heating up Gio Urshela, as we said, hitting .400 during this 11-game win streak. 4 hits on Tuesday night. And Urshela, since he's come back from this elbow, has been absolutely fantastic. You really have to think back and consider what a remarkable pickup that was for virtually nothing. And he has come to the Yankees and been everything you could ever expect him to be. And frankly, you never would have even expected this. You just would have hoped for a very good defense at third and maybe decent offensively. But he's been absolutely fantastic. And another one of those guys that you can look back on that Brian Cashman brought in, and not even at the Mike Tauchman level, just has given them so much more and has finally developed into that player that he was so highly touted to be for so long. And then finally, there's Aaron Judge, who had three hits on the night, and that's very encouraging to see. Aaron Boone, though, more concerned about something else.
The biggest thing right now is physically just seeing him bounce back and seeing him be able to do all the things he needs to do to be Aaron Judge. But I'm confident he's going to get there, the guy we know in the box. And so, it's great to get results and have another day where, you know, he's making improvements and clearly getting more comfortable in the box. But more for me right now is just making sure he's physically bouncing back and moving like he will, because I know the difference maker that he is.
And a guy who's not often wrong about this kind of thing in his analysis is John Flaherty. And on the postgame show on Yes, he said that right now Judge has the look of somebody that's about to go on a tear at the plate, even with how he takes pitches. And I know, you know, fans don't necessarily even think about that kind of thing. I never really did before I worked on the Mets pre and post game show. But the reactions of hitters at the plate to even how they take pitches is a big indicator for what their potential success is going to be in the short term. Flash said he looks like he is about to rip the cover off the ball and the power is about to come back. And I don't think that was hyperbole from Flash. He's not the kind of guy that usually throws out that kind of thing just for the heck of it and to have everybody just feeling good about themselves. So we'll watch for that over the next day or two. But you would expect after Giancarlo Stanton got off on Tuesday night that Judge would get at least a couple of days off before the postseason begins, because they are not going to want to have him on his feet very much if they can avoid it, and make sure that he's healthy, as we heard from Aaron Boone. Okay, so technically right now, here's where we stand. The Yankees' magic number is 1 to clinch second place in the American League East, but unfortunately, it stands at 6 to clinch the 4th seed in the American League. The Twins won in extra innings over the Tigers on Tuesday night, so the Yankees sit a game back in the loss column, but they need a combination of Yankee wins and Twins losses to add up to 6 over the last few days of the season. That might be a little bit too much to ask for at the moment. So I would say there's maybe a 15 to 20% chance that they can get that done. If not, obviously they'll be playing in Minneapolis, but that would not bother me in the least right now. When you have Cole and you have the postseason history of Tanaka in a 2 out of 3 series, you're obviously in excellent shape. This is not facing the Tampa Rays in the first round, considering how much they beat up on you this year. At some point, the Yankees will likely have to deal with the Rays, but you'll worry about that when it comes around. And frankly, they're cooking on all cylinders right now, so I don't think it will be a similar Yankee team once they actually do have to face the Rays than the one to the one that we saw having trouble with them throughout the course of the season. All right, that is Wednesday morning's Savages in the Box. I'm Carlin. We're out. See you.
Savages in the Box is available on the ESPN app and from Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.